Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to Josie's Inspiration. Today is June the 27th, and I'm so excited to be with you once again for our Josie's Inspiration show. And so today I'm excited as well about my guest. Her name is Reverend Lydia Jackson Evans. She is an ordained minister, an ordained religious science minister. She is the president of Alliance for Spiritual Understanding, and she is a powerful woman whose focus on women's self-esteem has her speaking all around the world and really giving a message that is so powerful. And in addition to the titles that she wears, Lydia is my friend for, I don't know how many, probably 20-some years. She is also a spiritual sister, a cousin, multi-talented in many aspects. She is my loctician, and I attribute her to my glowing hair. And so it's a beautiful relationship to have someone that you can call friend and sister, as well as someone that you can learn from and partner with in along this journey. And so today I'm excited. Our topic, flowing in the spirit. Reverend Lydia, are you with me? I believe she's on. Okay, Lydia, if you can hear me, your phone is muted. Just unmute yourself.
Josie?
I know she's on the line. There she is. Hello, good morning.
Yes, I am. I'm fine, and I thank you for that glowing introduction.
It's my honor. You know, I love that when you and I can connect on different levels, and this is something that we've had an opportunity to do on Blog Talk before, also on some other radio shows before, and so to have you as my guest today just really feels like, you know, we're just, you know, here we go again, as, you know, we spoke
exactly
yesterday and this morning. So my question first that I wanted to address to you, because, you know, when we talk about flowing in the spirit, sometimes people hear spirit and they think it's beyond them and they don't see themselves as part of spirit. So what is spirit and why is it important?
Okay, I hope you can hear me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Yep.
Okay. All right. If you talk about spirit, technically, the definition for spirit is that non-physical part of a person, but it's the part that makes up the character of the person, like it's the soul. Now, your spirit is very important because your spirit grows and evolves. In the Bible, Christ said, "I wish above all things that you prosper as your soul, your spirit, prospers." So for you to grow as a person, you have to feed your spirit things. You have to feed it positive things, knowing above all that you're connected to the divine. There is no break between the spirit of you and the mind of God, the divine.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and these things, you know, we know, but as listeners think about what that means, sometimes people get lost in the thought of religiosity, and they may not understand that it's greater than a religion, but it really is your personal self that we're talking about and that connection to the divine. So how do people bring that into their personal self without feeling that they have to have a religious connotation for it, a religious context for it?
There are so many different religions in the world, and all religion is a guideline to how a particular set of people feel that they need to behave. You have spiritual unfolding. I mentioned that your spirit unfolds, and it unfolds by us, through us, inside of us, and to us. There are four stages of spiritual unfolding. And when you get into the stages of spiritual unfolding, you can understand why it is so important that you take care and flow with the spirit. You have your victim stage. Now, that's where people think everything is happening to them from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the devil made me do it.
Mm-hmm.
People, you have the through us, your manifestation stage. And this is where the universal laws come into play, because your perception of something governs how you manifest it.
Mm.
You see it. You see what you describe, what you're saying to yourself. And that's not a fake it if you make it type of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But that part is like visualization. You know, when you can sit down
mm-hmm.
and you can daydream and actually see yourself in your house on the cliff
yep.
in Northern California,
mm-hmm.
if that's what you want.
Yep.
So when you do that, you get to that stage, and okay, because sometimes you can't visualize things. So here comes the third stage, and that's almost a channeling stage. You live beyond your imagination, and what I mean by that is, if you, that's what you want, is that house on the hill, but you've never seen it, and the mind works in pictures. So you actually need to find a picture of that house, that porch,
uh-huh.
whatever it is that you want. And you meditate on that, but you more than meditate on it. You put yourself in it. You allow yourself to surrender to it, and you make that opportunity to have that welcome in your life. Now, you have to ask yourself, how can I get this? This is your visioning stage where you ask questions. But the questions are very important, because behind every problem, there is an answer. And behind every answer, you're going to get an action, and behind every action is your way of life. So if you sit there and you're actually staring at this and you're knowing this, it's more than just that. You have to surrender to it and feel what it would be like to have this. Feel the wind on your face. Feel the fact that for you to have this house, you have no problem with money, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
the thing that people worry about the most. You have
yeah.
no problem. So feel what it would be like to just wake up in the morning, stretch, not have to worry about what bill is coming due, do I have enough money in my bank account? Because, see, all of this is energy. And there's no difference in the amount of leaves on a tree in a forest and the amount of money that could be in your bank account, because it's all energy. Everything is energy.
So I understand that, and that seems, I mean, for me, it makes a lot of sense, because as you talked about, you know, the stages, you know, and I think we all go through them, the victim stage, you know, the manifestation, the channeling, but the visioning and the channeling sometimes become the challenge, because, you know, people are often comfortable in the victim stage, because then they don't have to take ownership for what happens to them, but they get stuck in that process because you can't move forward as long as you don't own responsibility for your own life and your actions. And so I think that the evolution from that place becomes really, really key. And I know that, you know, I don't know if there are callers who are listening to this on replay or not, but what would you say to someone who recognizes that they're in the victim stage and they just want to get out of it, but it's been so long seated that they've sat there and they have justification in their mind for why they're there?
I would say to them to ask yourself important questions, because, see, once you get to the visioning stage, you're in the zone. But now you got to get into the flow. So you have to know that you have nothing to do but be, because we're all individualized beings of the one universal. It's one life. There's no separation. So if I'm saying to you, no difference between the leaves, the amount of leaves on the tree, and money in your account, and you got a negative balance in your account, then you're like, my energy is nowhere.
Right?
And it doesn't make sense to say that to a person. So ask yourself empowering questions like, where are you in your spiritual life? Do you actually surrender? God has you. It doesn't make any difference. You are one. You are a ray of the sun. You are one with all that is, that created everything. So why should you be in lack? It's because of that stinking thinking, okay? Somewhere along the way, growing up, or maybe, you know, we've heard this, money doesn't grow on trees. We can only do so much with the education that you have, with the background, with your environment, where you live. That's not true. That is not true. You are a child of the King. I'm telling you that this spiritual being, this divinity, you can call it God, you can call it universe, whatever you are comfortable calling it, has created all of this. I mean, think about it. In Genesis, everything was created before man was created. So does that or does that not tell you that God created plush places to put his likeness, us?
Mm-hmm.
So everything was created for us. Everything is here for us. We somehow have just decided that we can't do any further. We can't go any further. We don't have what it takes. Yes, you do. Ask yourself, do you have an ego that says, are you better or less than others?
Mm-hmm.
What about your livelihood? Do you feel like your job is your source, and if anything happens to the job, you're sunk? What about how you take care of your body? Because all of this goes, if you don't have health in your body, you don't have health in your mind, and you will just become, like people say, a product of your environment. And if the environment is substandard, then so is your thinking. That's why it's important to surround yourself with people who you think have actually made it. I don't care. It could be, you could look at Oprah. You know, Oprah's no different than anybody else. She was a poor little girl in Mississippi. But somewhere in the back of her mind, she knew there's more to me than this. God has made me, and he does not make mistakes. There is a beautiful young lady. Her name is Mandisa. Mandisa has several CDs, but the one song that I love the most is Unfinished. And in that song, she says, she used to tell people everything's going to be okay. But when it actually came down and crumbled around her, she forgot that. And when you forget who you are, that's when things started to crumble. And she had to get back into herself, back into her spirituality, back into, I notice I did not say religion. It's a guideline, and I'm not knocking any religion.
Yeah.
But when you know how close you are, that there is nothing separating you from your God, nothing separating you from your God. He forgives if you come humble. You, when she found all of that out, she wrote the song, he didn't make a mistake, and I'm just unfinished. He's not finished with me. He did a good work, and he's going to see it to completion. So when you can't see it, those are the things we call them treatments, prayer treatments. And a treatment is for somebody who's sick, right, or needs some help.
Right.
So our treatments are written in an affirmative, positive way. Instead of going to God, begging and pleading, you are the God you pray to. I just told you that. So instead of begging and pleading, you go giving thanks for what it is you think you're lacking. Give thanks for it being in your life. I give thanks
it's
for
giving
my health
thanks
down
in
to
advance.
A cellular level. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Giving thanks
paying
in advance.
Forward.
You know, that's it. I, you know, as I'm listening to you, so many things, that, you know, just flow through my mind because, you know, just understanding that visioning piece, as you were talking about the money and the trees, I remember a meditation one morning when I was walking and listening to information about money. And, you know, and we have in our community of African Americans particularly, you know, there's been this myth of money is the root of all evil. But we carry myths that live inside of us that hinder our progress. But as I was listening to, you know, as you were talking about, when you look at your bank account and it has a zero balance or a negative balance, it's hard to say the positive things about money. But one of the things that the woman was saying is that, you know, to affirm money, you know, to love and appreciate what money can do, because it can make a difference. It's not about the love of money as a hoarding. But, you know, what she said was, until you have the wealth you want, to put in your wallet an amount that allows you to say, I always have money. And I began that day. I started that day with a $10 bill. I had a $10 bill. I said, I'm putting that $10 bill in my wallet, and I can always say, I always have money. And then I moved to a $50 bill, and I keep a kept a $50 bill in my wallet. So I could say, I always have money, and money comes to me easily, because I knew that $50 was in my wallet, so it was not a lie. My mind was not confused that I was speaking something that wasn't true. But as I did that, and I've done that now for a number of years, even sometimes putting a $100 bill in there, you know, and I forget it, but I have not had a negative balance in my account. I have not worried about money because money comes to me easily, effortlessly, and right on time. And that's my affirmation that I began to say, because that was one area for me that as a business person who's independent as we are, I needed to know that my bank account would stay on the positive end so that I could manage my business and my life. But in other areas, you know, having had 3 cancer diagnoses, you know, not seeing myself as a cancer victim, but as a victor, and knowing that I'm victorious over cancer, and to see myself that way, even in the midst of treatment, and to visualize when I was in treatment that healing energy was coming through my body and my faith sustained me. So, you know, the spirit that lives within us gives us strength. We have to just open up and be receptive to feeling it and to receiving it and owning it.
Exactly, exactly. What we have to realize is that we live in a field of inexhaustible abundance. We have to know that there is no lack, but we have to change our thought patterns of abundance. You have to allow yourself to know that it's okay to have money. It's okay to be abundant. And what I have always said was that there is a field of thought that we have to have nothing before more can come in. It's like the universal pours a vacuum, you know. Yeah, that's the poverty consciousness. But it's your inherent right as part of the divine. We suffer from, everybody keeps on saying ADD, OCD, all that kind of stuff. I don't like those initials, but I'm going to add to them right now, because we suffer from intention deficit disorder. And what is your intention? If you're asking for an exorbitant amount of money, which whatever may be exorbitant to you, why do you want this money? What is your intention? Are you going to hoard it just to say that you have money? Because we're here to be dispensers of our divine gifts. That's what humanity means. In Sanskrit, human means the dispenser of the divine. And we have to see this abundance, and we have to wear it, and we're here to share that. And we have to walk with that joy of knowing. I've heard it said that joy is the evidence of God, of the divine, because the world does not give you joy. I mean, you might get happy about somebody giving you something or something you see, but that innate joy comes from knowing that there is nothing, there's no weapon formed against me can prosper. And you have to live from that. You have to walk through this world. When things are going right, that's the natural state of joy. And it comes from having an intimate relationship with the divine. You have to start with saying, okay, look, let's just break this down. I have done everything in my power to get extra money. I'm just using money because that seems to be everybody's thing.
Right.
I've done everything in my power. I work double, and taxes take it so it evens out anyway. I try everything I can do to make sure my children are in the right places, and doggone it, they go astray anyway. Okay, but that's you and your finite humanity trying to do this. Connect with that thread of your inner Christ itself. It's there. It's a glow. It's when you start to speak about somebody that you love, how you can speak all day long. We have to learn to speak about the joy, the strength, the abundance, the consciousness of knowing that God is all. And we're not separated from this allness and this isness. And it's just exactly who we are. That's our right.
So one of the things, as you know, as you talked a few minutes ago, meditation, and I know this is something that we've done together, and I wanted to kind of bring it back to that because I really understand how powerful it is to be still, to be quiet. And I'd love for you to speak on meditation because I still have your meditation CD that we did back on. I don't remember the show we did it on years ago, but with Dwayne,
yes.
rest in peace, Dwayne. We miss you. Dwayne, loving.
Miss him.
Yeah, but I'd like for you to speak on meditation and help people understand what that can do.
Well, first of all, I need to tell people that it's nice to say you meditate. But when you first start, you're going to think you're a raging lunatic because if I tell you to sit down, light a candle so you have something to focus on, and focus on the flame, focus on your breath, breathe in, breathe out. And when you start to do that, you start thinking, I got dishes in the sink. What time are the kids coming home from school? I have to start dinner. Oh, Lord, I didn't do the laundry. And I'm telling people that's normal. So you let all of that play through like you're looking at something, oh, a video. Let all of that, all of those scenes go past you. It may help to have a mantra. A mantra could be anything from some people do the transcendental meditation with the Om, which is the tone of the universe. Or you can just have something, a scripture that you like, that you repeat. Something as simple as God is love. And you repeat this as you breathe and you focus on just the breath and on that thought. What that does is it stills the mind. And when your mind is still, God doesn't operate in chaos. And when your mind is still, the thoughts and the mind of God will connect with you and your inner self because you are the center in the mind of God. Just as much as your children are on your mind all day long, no matter what you do, you're thinking, you know, about my kids. You are a child of the divine. You are a part of the divine. You're as much of a part of the divine as your eyes are to you. You are needed on this earth to bring forth the majesty and to bring forth everything that God has for us. Because some of us need a physical being to connect with, to bring forth things in our minds. So when you sit down, it's important to quiet yourself. Think only of beauty. If you need music, that's fine. If you need the crashing of the waves or something like that, that's fine. Everything works together to keep you calm and to keep you focused. And if you can't do it but 5 minutes, when you get up from that 5 minutes, you're going to be a changed person.
Absolutely, because the breathing, the breath is restorative. You know, when I meditate, it's peace, be still. You know, that's what gives me that moment because when I'm saying peace, be still, I'm still in myself. And, you know, I want peace. I want calm. And, you know, but the mind is so rejuvenated through our breath. Breath,
yes,
our oxygen is the brain's food. And people sometimes think, oh, well, we breathe all the time. I was working with a young lady the other day who was saying, well, what do you mean women don't breathe? And I said, we don't. You know, we cough, we hold a lot. I said, but we rarely stop to breathe. And so I showed her how to breathe. And, you know, and then I asked her, how did she feel? She said, oh, my God, I feel like a weight dropped off my shoulder. And I said, that's the power of your breath. When you're focused on your breath.
Well, it's funny you say that because the name of my CD is Breathe. And breath is essential to life. As much as we understand that the blood in our body carries oxygen, and it carries oxygen to parts of our bodies that need it, if your brain didn't get enough oxygen, you'd black out and die.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes
breathe
walking around,
in.
You have blacked out.
But I believe that from the neck up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
when we breathe correctly, and it helps if you can be in nature, if you can just, heck, walk out your back door and look at a plant, look at a blade of grass, watch it blow in the breeze, inhale all the positivity, exhale all the negativity, and you're getting more oxygen to each part of your body, you're going to start thinking differently. You're going to want to exercise and breathe. And that comes back to you're going to want to eat right, not just for weight loss. That's fine, too. But so that you will be energized enough to think correctly. And with all of that comes back to the knowledge of I am divine. I deserve this. It's my inherent right to have abundance and prosperity and the all good of God in all areas of my life. I start my morning, and this is just something I do. I love sage.
Mm-hmm.
And I will sage my entire house. I open the door. I don't care if it's snow on the ground. I open the door for 5 or 10 minutes, and I release all thoughts of lack, negativity, from my mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, and financial bodies. Because all of that is energy. And there can be a blockage in your energy field in one part of your life that isn't in another part of your life. So in that part of your life that you feel is working well, when you think about that and you get that joy and you're feeling it and you're really feeling yourself, you know, you're good, put that into the area that you feel is lacking. And I said feel because there is no lack. It's our thoughts.
Mm.
It might be a fear of prospering. It might be a fear of growing. And the fear is like, it's just strange. It could be something as fearful as, but if I grow, I'm going to leave people behind that I love. Well, if these people love you, they come
to the unknown. That's right. Absolutely. Wow. For those who may have joined or listening later, I am so excited today. This is Josie's Inspiration, and my guest today has been the awesome, the amazing, the just if you see her, you can't help but smile and feel uplifted in her presence, Reverend Lydia Jackson Evans. She is an ordained religious science minister and president of Alliance for Spiritual Understanding. And, you know, her concern, women's issues. And so this is an opportunity for you to really get in tune with yourself. Flowing in the Spirit has been our message for today. And I hope you've listened, and I hope you will listen again, because there's a message here for everyone. And Lydia, I thank you so very much, and I appreciate you greatly for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. It was an honor.
All righty. We'll be back for Josie's Inspiration on next Tuesday, which I believe might be the 4th of July. So have a blessed week, and enjoy and flow in the Spirit. Be authentically you. Take care. Bye-bye.